over at bangthebook.com. We are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Tons of great stuff being posted by a very strong group of writers over there. We've got Danny Vorgs' updated NFL power ratings for week 11 and his model projected final scores that went up here this morning. Another edition of Parker Michaels' daily NHL picks went up this morning as well. Parker is on fire. So make sure you head on over to bangthebook.com. Check out his article today and every day because he shares a lot of phenomenal information in the NHL betting markets. My college football power ratings went up earlier on in the week. Got ongoing situational betting tips for college football, college hoops, the NBA, and the NHL. Got a preview for tonight's Michigan State Seton Hall college hoops game. Got a bunch of NBA content for you as well. Lots of good stuff going on over at bangthebook.com, your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. And make sure you check out our Bang the Book YouTube page as well, where we got some free pick video content up for you for the weekend here. As you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook, BTB and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook, 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino. At BetDSI, it's only a game until you bet it. One guest on the program today, but he is a very good one. Great buddy of mine, Mr. Brad Powers, professional handicapper over at BradPowersSports.com. Brad, how's it going today, man?
It's going well. How are you doing on this fine Thursday?
Very well, buddy. Appreciate your time as always here, sir. And look, I'm excited because tonight we have something other than Maction to pay attention to because, man, that conference is terrible.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I have a little bit of fondness for the MAC, considering, I mean, one of those schools is my alma mater, so
yeah,
and growing up in that
area. 3 points last
night.
Yeah.
The quality of football is certainly not there, and it's tough at least getting a read on some of those teams because there's a lot of inconsistencies, that not only from week to week, but, from season to season, it seems like. When I was there, it was almost like the golden era. I mean, you had Roethlisberger at Miami. Urban Meyer was at BG at that time. Northern Illinois was really good. I mean, it was so good that Mac football and Gary Pinkel was at Toledo that, I mean, College Game Day actually came to Bowling Green for a week. So it's certainly fallen in the last 15 years since that time period.
Yeah, it definitely has. And, of course, losing head coaches like a Dave Doran, like a Matt Campbell, those are things that have kind of hurt this conference. And quite frankly, I think when you look at a couple of guys, in action here that we're going to talk about, we're not going to talk about Buffalo, but Lance Leipold's done a great job at Buffalo. Maybe Mike New kind of turning things around there at Ball State. Jim McElwain's going to use Central Michigan to springboard to another job. We will talk about that Central Michigan Ball State game here in a few minutes, but the MAC, it's very difficult to talk about on a weekly basis. So fortunately we won't do too much of that here in this segment, but we start on Friday night as we roll through our game breakdowns here. Game 315, 316, Louisiana Tech and Marshall. Very interesting line move here in this game with Marshall going up from 2.5 to as high as 5 out there in the market.
Yeah, I'm against the line move, and I'll have to dive in further and see what's going on with it. Cause I mean, I'm closer to like 2.5, which is where it was towards the opener. And, I've used Louisiana Tech several times. I've been on them. I started the season on them in the Texas game. Unfortunately, that was a loss there. But, I mean, obviously, that was their last loss as far as straight up since week one. And I know they haven't played that great of a schedule, but the offense is really gelling. 52 points per game their last four. It could be a rematch in the Conference USA championship game. I'm on La Tech here. No, number 2.5, it's crossed right through a key number 3. I'll probably even bet the Bulldogs. That's how much I like it.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to see. I don't know if there's some sort of injury situation here driving this line or what the case may be. But, like you said, I mean, I know we've talked about Louisiana Tech a few times here on the show this season. They've been a team that you've been on, a team that you've liked. I think Marshall's one of those tough teams to figure out this year because year in and year out, they're generally pretty good. They're usually very consistent. They had the 1 year with the bad turnover margin. I want to say it was 2017 where they had like a 3-win season. But other than that, they've been very reliable, but so has Louisiana Tech. So, I mean, my number's 4.5. It did move towards my number. I'm not going to have a play on the game, but, again, at this time of the year, it's very hard to find injury information, very hard to find out if teams are maybe going towards a youth movement, something like that. You've really got to do your research here. And it's tough because time is so limited with so many people doing college basketball stuff.
The youth movement is a very critical part because I would assume that this might be the week where we start to really see it. You know, with the, especially with the new rules only being in their second year, the fact that you can play four games and still preserve a year of eligibility, I'm guessing that those kids have already played a game or two so far. And I think some coaches, if it's going to be a lost season, you're going to see them utilize those guys that much more so. Yeah, that's something, especially this week and even really next week, that is relatively new to the market. And it's, I think, going to be something that's inefficient in the marketplace that if you're really, you know, diving deep into it, you can take advantage.
That's an excellent point because I was thinking about it in terms of coaches kind of planning for the following season, but I forgot about the redshirt rule. And that could play a really big role here over the last few weeks of the season. That's an excellent point there by you. And again, you've got to try to dig for this information. If you see a line move that maybe doesn't make sense to you, go and find out why. And, you know, I don't think these two teams obviously aren't going to be playing around with anything like that because they do have some conference, championship hopes. But you know, that will be a thing for some of these teams here as we go forward. How about the other game on Friday night out in the Mountain West, 317-318. Fresno State's a one-point favorite against San Diego State. San Diego State was laying, 17.5 last week and lost outright to Nevada. That was a weird game. Total of 39. Nevada hadn't looked very good, but you know, they come away with the victory there in that one. I got to admit, man, I don't know about you, but I don't know what to do with either one of these teams right now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we saw some consistency with San Diego State. I mean, prior to last week, their only loss was at home to Utah State. But, I mean, that certainly threw a shock to the system, losing to what the market perceives to be a really bad Nevada team. I've been on Nevada a few times, but last week wasn't one of them. It's weird because both teams do it in different ways. I mean, obviously San Diego State, I mean, is really pathetic on offense, but defensively it's certainly been there. I mean, that's one of the reasons if you've just been blindly betting the under in San Diego State games this year, you're 8-1. I mean, their games are averaging only 35 total points per game. I mean, that's incredible. I can't remember seeing a number that low in a long time in college football. Fresno State's defense is really wearing down, 500 or more in three straight games. I mean, I got San Diego State one here, so I'm leaning with the Aztecs here. I think wrong team favorite.
I think so, too. My line's only San Diego State minus a half a point, though. So both you and I kind of there in that coin flip type of scenario. Not a whole lot of reason to get involved in this one with so much other stuff going on here, not just in college football, but again, you've got a full Saturday slate in college football, full Saturday slate in college basketball. There's value to be had. Go ahead and save your money. Don't chase that Friday night game in the Mountain West just because it's on late. You have nothing else to do. You know, you're sweating the game into club or whatever people do these days. Don't do that with that game. Not one that I would recommend. Sounds like you feel the same way. We go to Saturday here. Game 319-320, West Virginia and Kansas State. I've got some takes on this game, but I want to hear yours first with Kansas State, a 14-point favorite.
So my number is like 15.5. But what worries me a little bit is, you know, both teams had kind of misleading performances last week. Texas really, you know, after they got down 14-0, really controlled that game against Kansas State. And I think they were getting ready to run away with it, because Texas had scored 24 unanswered, and Kansas State gets like a 98-yard kick return touchdown to just to stop that momentum right then and there. If they don't get that, I don't think they cover, and we might be talking about like a 17-point loss. So think about in the marketplace how Kansas State be treated if it was a 17-point loss instead of a last-second loss. On the other side, I mean, West Virginia, not only were they -4 in turnovers last week, but they were stopped on downs three times inside Texas Tech's 25-yard line. So that's basically like seven turnovers that West Virginia had. Moving the football wasn't an issue. They had 550 yards. Now they have been struggling running the ball. I actually lean with the over here, but it's only a lean. I don't have anything significant, and I'll do the old, I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot here, so I guess you can look this up unless you already know. While I'm talking here, is Jarrett Dagey going to be the starting quarterback for West Virginia here?
You know, I heard whispers last week because I actually do a weekly hit with the guys that actually beat writers that cover West Virginia. And they were expecting, Deggy to, play a lot last week. Now, last week that he just got named the backup, but I haven't seen anything that's, concrete that he's going to officially start here.
Because Austin Kendall's had this interception problem throughout the year. He's got 10 of them now after two last week. It's been a big problem for West Virginia. And I actually was higher in the market on West Virginia early on in the year than what we were seeing with some of their numbers. But it got to a point where I couldn't bet them anymore. And here they've dropped five straight. Turnovers playing a big role in a lot of them. One of the reasons I do like West Virginia here this week, though, and whether it's Kendall or Daggy, I'm not sure that matters so much in terms of my handicap. But for Kansas State here, TCU, close win. Oklahoma, you're blowing them out. Then you let them back in the game. You figure maybe there's a little bit of a letdown factor in the Sunflower Showdown against Kansas. There isn't one. They blow out the Jayhawks, big win for them. Last week, the close loss to Texas. At some point, you can't keep giving your best effort. I think this is a letdown type of week for Kansas State. Again, it's very tough to back West Virginia because they're probably going to give Kansas State some extra possessions here. If it's Daggy, I'd probably feel a little bit better about it. But I just don't know if this is the week emotionally where Kansas State gets margin and covers 14.5.
I like it, man. That's strong handicap. You swung me. I was, on the fence here. Power ratings were leaning Kansas State. I think I put exactly a 14-point margin in my newsletter this week. But that's a good enough handicap for me to swing and lean West Virginia.
And again, we'll have to look it up and see, if it is Daggy or if it's Kendall. Again, if it's Daggy, I mean, he doesn't have this interception-itis that Kendall clearly has. So maybe that would be the type of spot where I would like West Virginia, maybe even a little bit more there in that one. How about we go to game 333-334 here? Louisville and North Carolina State. Louisville, 3.5, 4-point road favorite here in this one. Remember, Louisville had been a sharp darling for several weeks in a row. They play Miami. Money comes in on Miami with Louisville off the bye, and the Hurricanes take them to Truck City in that one. But now we've got a little bit more interest in Louisville this week.
Yeah, it was funny last week because, I was kind of the anti-Miami crowd, although turnovers played an issue in that one. When you're getting crushed, you're getting crushed. It is what it is. I only have a 1.5 here, and I think I'm probably still too high in the marketplace on NC State. But, NC State has covered just two games this season. ATS margin for them is, minus 10 points per game. That's third worst in the country. And obviously the last two games haven't been a good look for NC State. 99-20 in the last two games alone. That's what they've been outscored. Louisville just needs one win for bowl eligibility. I think they get it here, but I don't want to lay more than a field goal on the road.
Hey, you and I have got a pretty big difference of opinion here in this one. I've actually got Louisville by a touchdown here.
Oh, wow. And
see, the thing of it is, and I've talked about this. I talked about it in the context of the Browns last week. I've talked about it in the context of Florida State. It's really hard to get low on some of these programs that have talent, have a reputation, or in the case of NC State, have a really good head coach in Dave Doran that, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I know they lost a ton from last year. Finley, 1,000-yard running back. I think they had 2,000-yard receivers last year. You want to give a team like that the benefit of the doubt because Doran's done so well. So I understand why you're digging in a little bit with NC State. Maybe I got too high on Louisville as the rest of the market did. But this is one of those games where something just feels weird about it. At this time of the year, you may have power ratings overlays, but motivation is a factor. Teams giving a best effort week in and week out is a factor. Maybe Louisville's just not as good as we thought. Maybe NC State's not as bad as we thought. There's something about this game that smells a little bit off.
Let me ask you, since I got the actual number on yours, what stack ranked, where's Louisville ranked, and where's Louisville ranked in your where's Louisville and where's NC State ranked?
Let me pull up my power ratings here. It's one of those things where Louisville has been a big rapid riser for me here so far this season. I know you and I've kind of talked about them a lot. I've got Louisville 41st in my power ratings here, and I have NC State 85th.
All right, so it's more on the Louisville side because I got Louisville 56 and NC State 78. I just, really respect your opinion. So, and I love gathering information and opinions. So, all right. I will take that under consideration moving forward. Because I've been higher on NC State and been getting, you know, I haven't necessarily had a bunch of plays on NC State, but certainly power ratings plays have been relatively strong on NC State, and I've gotten my teeth kicked down my throat here.
I will say this, obviously, when you talk about Louisville and when you talk about NC State and the teams that they've recently played, Boston College hung 45 and ran for like 485 yards or whatever on them. But Boston College has a very good running game and an elite running back in A.J. Dillon. We know Wake Forest has a good offense, even if they were overrated because of how bad their defense is. And Clemson is obviously Clemson. Louisville doesn't have an offense the same caliber of those three teams, or at least doesn't have an elite element to its offense like a Boston College does with the running game. So I can see that. I can see this being kind of a step down in class to a degree for NC State.
A little bit, but I mean, we'll see. Cause I mean, I think Louisville is pretty good this year. And obviously last week was probably one of their worst performances in the entire season. So, I'm not highly confident. I'll probably even get more aggressive with NC State. I mean, this is a game where, you know, if they even that they lose by seven or so, like closer to your power ring, I'm not afraid to make a point and a half adjustment and keep lowering NC State. I got them more than a touchdown down since the start of the season.
All right, so we go to game 335-336, and obviously there's a lot to talk about here with this game. If you're somebody who's not well-versed in this business, and I'm sure that there are some people that listen to our show that are trying to learn, and you know, we try to set up our show in a way that works for seasoned handicappers, novice handicappers, everybody. I think a lot of people would be very surprised to see Iowa, a three-point favorite, against an undefeated Minnesota team that just beat Penn State. But there is a method to the madness here, isn't there?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, let's just talk coin flip games. 50-50 games could go either way. Great disparity between these two teams. I mean, Iowa's 1-3 in those games decided by 7 points or less. Minnesota's 5-0, including last week. I mean, they were impressive last week. There's no question about it. An outright upset win over Penn State. They jumped on the Nittany Lions early. But, I mean, Penn State also gave them a couple turnovers, interceptions, got stopped on downs inside the 10. To me, at Iowa, because of losing a bunch of coin flip games, Minnesota winning a bunch of coin flip games, that says value on Iowa. Also says value is how is Minnesota going to handle success? I mean, that's their biggest win in 50-plus years last week. How do they handle it this week? That's not one of my biggest questions, but it's certainly a factor. Outside of Penn State, who in the hell has Minnesota played? I mean, that was their first top 50 game, a game against a top 50 team. Iowa's played the much tougher schedule. My power ratings say 4.5 here. I'm on Iowa. I bet Iowa. It's one of my top plays of the week.
Yeah, Iowa 26th in Sagarin by strength of schedule. Minnesota 70th. And here's the funny thing. You know, I was going through and putting my lines together. I was putting together my power ratings on Saturday night, then on into Sunday morning. And initially I had Iowa -3 and I'm like, no, that can't be right. Like that just seems too high on this game. So I made some adjustments with both teams, wound up with Iowa -0.5 point. Sure enough, the line comes out Iowa -3. So I'm kind of kicking myself for not sticking to where I was, but I agree with you. I think that there are a lot of factors pointing in Iowa's direction here and the strength of schedule discrepancy being a big one. And like you said, you know, it's one thing to win one of these one-off games. It's another to have this newfound set of expectations and sustain that level of play. If Minnesota does it this week, more power to them. That's awesome. Good luck against the Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship game. If they don't, well, maybe we find something out about Minnesota this week.
Yeah, good call. And just, you know, where I wasn't overly surprised was, I mean, my power ratings said Minnesota was the play last week. Like, there was like a 2-point difference. Line was 6.5. I had it like 4.5. And even though I thought it was kind of a coin flip game and I was impressed with Minnesota, I upgraded Minnesota 1.5 from that game. So I thought I was being aggressive with their upgrade, even though my eye test said, hey, they could have easily lost that game. And the fact that there's now a disparity between going against them, I mean, that's why I'm just saying there's value. I haven't been very anti-Minnesota this season as far as my power ratings, and I thought I gave them the benefit of the doubt upgrading them. That's why I'm thinking I'm seeing value. we'll see. I'll say this. PJ Fleck was one. We opened the segment up talking about, you know, MAC coaches. He's one of those MAC coaches that's no longer there. He worries me a little bit from a motivation aspect because he can play the disrespect card. We're unbeaten and we're a 3-point dog at Iowa. So that would be my concern here.
Yeah, PJ Fleck is fantastic. And I think there are some questions about Kirk Ferentz and if he's evolving this Iowa program enough to what the new look Big Ten actually is. But again, man, I mean, this is just one of those games where I'm actually surprised we haven't gone to 2.5 because it sort of implies to me that the risk managers that are out there expect Iowa sharp money if it goes to 2.5 because the public is on Minnesota. And
yeah, I mean, yeah, the public betting percentages are certainly on Minnesota. I think you can hold out a little bit. I think we might see a 2.5, but I don't think it lasts long.
No, and if it's a 2.5, it probably comes at a squarer kind of book, too.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be – Pinnacle's not going 2.5 here. Matchbook's not. Westgate's probably not. You know, Station's out there in Vegas or, you know, maybe some of the operators in New Jersey or a Bovada offshore. That's where you're probably going to find a 2.5 if you are waiting for one here on this game. Speaking of 2.5s, we've got one here, game 339-340, Central Michigan and Ball State. I started the segment talking about how you can't trust anybody in the MAC, but these have been two of the more trustworthy teams in the conference.
Yeah, certainly. And Central Michigan, who I thought I had power rated higher than the marketplace coming into this season, is even exceeding my expectations. They were one of my most improved teams, and kudos to Jim McElwain for doing – I thought it was a good hire, and, I mean, certainly it's proven to be so. But also Mike New, kind of back against the wall for Ball State this year, has come through and looking to get to his first bowl game possibly. Ball State's got their run game going as of late. In their last three, they're averaging nearly 300 yards per game. But their run defense kind of got run over against Ohio and Western Michigan. Central Michigan's offense has been really good no matter who's at quarterback. I mean, 38 points per game in their last five. But with that being said, I mean, my power ranks say Ball State 6.5 here. So that's a huge overlay. I have to bet Ball State.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing, too, because Central Michigan going through the two different quarterbacks here. They had David Moore, then he got suspended for popping a positive PED test. They go back to Dormady now that he's healthy again. And they've still been very, very strong. I don't know about you, man, but I have Central Michigan up 13.5 points in my power ratings from the start of the year. Is that about where you are?
I'm only, and maybe that's the difference. I'm only 8.5, but I thought coming into the season, because I bet Central Michigan week one, I thought they were off like 3 or 4 points in that opening game against an FCS opponent. So I thought coming in, because I thought their season win total was a little light, I thought I was like 3-4 points ahead of the market on Central Michigan. Maybe I haven't been aggressive enough, and maybe that's just an overall theme. Maybe I'm not aggressive enough in my power ratings changes.
I mean, I got this one, Ball State 2.5, so I'm right there in line with the market. So I guess we'll see how this one plays out and see if it does wind up going closer to your number here. We take a jump down the board to game 357-358, Navy and Notre Dame. I'm sure you expected that we would talk about this game, especially with the line move. Navy coming down from double digits to 7 out there, 7 minus 15, the lowest price on the Fighting Irish at this point in time.
Yeah, and this is my biggest power ratings disparity of the entire season. I mean, I got it like Notre Dame 16. So, and I haven't been high on Notre Dame at all. In fact, I've been very anti-Notre Dame. I got Navy upgraded more than any other team in the country. 2 touchdowns. Maybe, I mean, this line's saying I should have Navy up 3 touchdowns. And I mean, if that's the case, if I put Navy up 3 touchdowns, then we're treating Navy like a top 20 team. And this line's kind of saying they're borderline. I mean, that their AP ranking is closer to what their Vegas rating is. I mean, Navy's off a bye. They've done well in South Bend. They're 12-2 against the spread their last 14 visits. I mean, if you look at them statistically, I mean, they're top 12 in yards per game differential, points per game differential, yards per play differential. But the reality is, Adam, I mean, they played one top 40 team at Memphis. They lost that game. That's their only loss of the season. And, I mean, I know it was several weeks back, but weren't they catching like 10 or 11 to Memphis? And now they're only catching a touchdown at Notre Dame. I don't understand it. I bet Notre Dame. I actually bet Notre Dame at a worse number. I'm embarrassed to say it, but I'm on Notre Dame here.
I got this one 11.5, so it's not as big of an overlay as yours is, but yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with anything that you said there. You know, you've got some teams here, even this late in the season, that just haven't played anybody or have one legitimate data point. And this is a, I mean, this game is a big deal for Notre Dame. I know they're not going to the college football playoff. They can't win a conference, this and that, but in this Service Academy game is a big game for them. And Boston College next week at home, not that big. On the road at Stanford, Stanford's down a ton. This is a big type of game here for Notre Dame. So it wouldn't shock me at all. What does shock me is the nature of this line move. And again, I understand Notre Dame's going to have a limited number of possessions here, with which they'll have to be very efficient offensively. But I am surprised to see all the way down to 7 here, still this early in the week with more than 48 hours until kickoff.
Stunned by it. I mean, obviously, I'd consider it to be sharper money, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, sharper money isn't, it's not like it's 65%. So against the spread. Let me ask you this. How much have you upgraded Navy on the season?
Let's see. I have Navy 32nd in my power ratings right now. I know you mentioned that, you know, this line kind of implies they're like a top 20 sort of team. So I definitely don't have them that high. I've got them a 73.5 in my power ratings right now. And that's up from 55 over the summer. So I have an 18.5 point adjustment. All right. Navy.
Well, then there's, you know, and I've kind of hypothesized that maybe, you know, I should be up that high. Maybe I need to change in the, and I'm going to have to take a long, hard look at it. I'm just not built to upgrade teams that significant. Cause I mean, to me, it just, I don't see teams traditionally moving, you know, more than 10 to 14 points from one season. But I mean, this could be the case where this team's 3 touchdowns better off of what was an historically poor season a year ago. I mean, Navy was 3-10. That was their worst season since Paul Johnson got things going at the start of this century.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, too, where I was very low on them coming into the season. I'm trying to run back through my spreadsheet here and look at the season win total projection that I actually had for Navy, because it was low. It was 4.24. I don't remember what the market was on that one, but I was very, very low on this Navy team coming into the season. They were at 5.5 under -125 for the season win total. So I was well below the market at that point in time. And part of it, too, was that I thought, well, now that they're in a conference, they've really struggled. Teams are seeing the option more often. It's been a problem for them. I want to be low on this team. Turns out I was way too low, and it seems like, you know, you were pretty low on them at the start of the year as well. So, again, I mean, hey, you know, it's also one of those years in college football where a lot of teams kind of beating each other and stuff like that. So, again, adjustments probably do need to be made as we head on into next season here. We go out west to the Pac-12, game 359-360, Arizona State and Oregon State. Can we talk about injury information, the importance of that? Is Jaden Daniels going to give it a go this week?
Yeah, he is going to play here. I mean, hence, that's why Arizona State's favored on the road. You know, last week they did. I mean, that was unfortunate. Didn't get reported until Friday. And, I mean, I had already bet Arizona State early in the week. So, I mean, I've lost more games with late information quarterback this year than any other year probably combined. You know, final score looks close to the line, but I mean, SC did outgain Arizona State by like 200 yards, and SC was up significantly in that game for a majority of it. I mean, they need to win here. They've lost 3 straight, Arizona State. I mean, now it's starting to get to the point where they've been stuck on 5 wins for a while. I mean, they need to get the bowl eligibility. Oregon State's still fighting for it. They need to win 2 of their last 3. You know, if you can tell me I can get a full 3, I'm leaning Oregon State, but it looks like a lot of the marketplace is coming down to 2.5.
Yeah, I think this is a tough one. I had such high hopes for Oregon State last week. I had high hopes for Oregon State offensively last week against a Washington defense that had really struggled, and that was awful. I mean, that was as bad as it gets offensively for Oregon State. Do they do better here this week against Herm Edwards? They should, but, you know, to what degree is the question there in that one. We jump big way down here, 377-378, Texas and Iowa State. Again, in the open, I talked about not really knowing what to do with the MAC, not really having the MAC accurately rated here throughout most of the season. In a lot of cases, I haven't known what to do with the Big 12 this year. I feel like I haven't had a good handle on really any of these teams here over the course of the season. And even here, I've got Iowa State a double-digit favorite. The market is at 7.
I'm at like 8.5, but I went against my power ratings. I'm going to take Texas. And here's why. So these two teams have played 15 times since 1980. Iowa State's never been favored over Texas. Never. So to me, to have an historic outlier, it's just not their favorite. I mean, they're significantly favored. They're a touchdown favorite. So in that instance, Iowa State's got to be historically great. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, statistical wise, this might be the best Iowa State team we've seen, at least in the last 40 years, since Earl Bruce was coaching them back in the late 70s. On the other side is this, you know, historically poor Texas team. I know that's not the case. So, I mean, here's to me, I think it's an ego type of game. I'm Texas. I've worked over Iowa State. I've worked over Matt Campbell the last couple of years. In fact, Matt Campbell, 69% against the spread in Big 12 play. He's 0-3 against Texas, and his offense has only managed 23 points, not points per game, combined in three games. I'm a 4- or 5-star kid at Texas, and I'm getting a touchdown to Iowa State. I mean, that personally offends me. So, I mean, that's just how I think. But I'm on Texas. Even though my power rings say Iowa State's the lean here, just from a motivation situational, and I'm just looking at historical outliers, I'm on the Longhorns here.
Well, and also you look at the spot for Iowa State. I mean, it was the right call to go for two. It absolutely was. I know that you've got Oregon on their heel or Oklahoma on their heels, and people are saying, oh, you know, why don't you just take it to overtime? No, you don't take it to overtime against Lincoln Riley and Jalen Hurts and that Oklahoma offense. You try to win the game right there, and you didn't do it. And that's got to be tough to come back from. And you're playing a Texas team, and I'll go ahead and let you rattle off the numbers because I'm sure you've got them handy. You're playing a Texas team back in its preferred role as an underdog under Tom Herman. And for Texas here, there's no look ahead to that Baylor game next week. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a big game for you, but there's no look ahead to that because you want this game. So, I mean, you've got a Texas team back in that role where they tend to thrive with their head coach. Texas is the only way I could look here. Again, like you, going against my power ratings, I don't think I'll play it, but that's the only thing I would do if I was in an ATS pool or something like that.
Yeah, and Herman's 14-4. Doesn't sound that great now. I mean, he's actually been 500 as of late, so it was really good there for a while. It's kind of been 500 since, or at least the last four or five games. I mean, you go way back to when he was actually an offensive coordinator at Iowa State. His teams are like 25-4. So that's a little bit more impressive there. To me, it's not, I think that gets overrun. It's just this actual game for me for Texas to be a touchdown underdog against, and look, Iowa State hasn't been able to really, I mean, they've gotten margin a couple times. But, I mean, a lot of their games have been close, and they just haven't won those games. I mean, they've lost four games by a combined 11 points. So I get all that. I get that Iowa State's, you know, better than their record shows. I get that they're an analytics darling because they're in the top 20 of yards per play and stuff like that. I got Iowa State as a top 20 team in my power rankings. I do think they're legit. I just don't get them laying a touchdown here. I just don't.
Let me slide back a few spots here on the board game. 371, 372. I accidentally overlooked this one, both in sending the notes over and then also here going throughout the show. Georgia and Auburn. Georgia, a 3-point road favorite here against Auburn. This game doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot of fanfare for being a top 15 type matchup.
Yeah, I'm on Auburn here, and one of my favorite plays of the week. Auburn's played the much tougher schedule. I think the Sagarin ratings are 2 against 52, so that's significant this time of year when you got two teams playing in the same conference. Auburn's off a bye. Auburn's off a misleading game against Ole Miss where they missed like a bunch of like 3 field goals. They settled for 5, missed 3 of them. Georgia offensively, last 4 games, 22 points per game. 22 points per game, and now this is the best defense they've seen all year. And I get it. Georgia's defenses look good, and statistically, they're really good even on the season. But 2 of their last 3 games, they've had shutouts. Against who, though? A third-string quarterback for Kentucky that's basically a wildcat converted wide receiver and a backup quarterback last week in Missouri. They've kind of obviously benefited from that defensively stats-wise. And then on the other side, I mean, the scary thing is Bo Nix against this Georgia's defense. Bo Nix, the quarterback, obviously, for Auburn. But he's certainly, Bo Nix, been better at home this year. 60% completions, road 50%. So it makes sense that a true freshman young quarterback is much more comfortable and better at home than he is on the road. And I just, I think upset. I think this could be the week, you know, after the big game last week. I think we're due to have a monster upset or two this week. This one won't be a monster upset, but it'll certainly throw a kink into the playoff mix here with Georgia being number four in the rankings. I like Auburn outright.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, I understand all the reasons you like Auburn. I'm not going to disagree with any of them. The sticking point for me in this game is Bo Nix versus Jake Fromm. And, you know, can Bo Nix outplay Jake Fromm? Does he need to outplay Jake Fromm? But when you look at Georgia here, 6.65 yards per play on the season. I've watched a few Georgia games, watched them against Florida, watched them against South Carolina. Jake Fromm does not impress me. There's nothing downfield. There's nothing to challenge any opponent. A lot of the big plays are just Georgia wide receivers getting in space, making things happen. That's much harder to do against an Auburn defense that's fast and going to be bunched up and force Fromm to beat them over the top. You mentioned the bye from Auburn. Man, I think that's a huge factor here in this game. I agree with you. My line's -3, but it's Auburn or nothing here. And I agree. I think if you like Auburn, you go ahead and look for the money line reward.
Yeah, I think that's certainly the case here. And you have your lines, Georgia 3, power rating?
Georgia 3, yep.
See, I got Auburn 1. So, and we've hit on, I have 6-7 games this year where I have a power ratings disparity. I think we've hit on, like, almost every one. So it's interesting that we've hit on those games this week.
All right, so let's see if you got one here in this game. Game 381, 382, Oklahoma and Baylor, College Game Day down in Waco. Oklahoma laying doubles in this one, 10 or 10.5, depending on where you look, up from 9. So the early activity has been on the Oklahoma side.
8.5, so I don't have a huge disparity here. I want to play against both. I mean, statistically, you know, that the wise guy stat, yards per play, I mean, they're both in the top 10 if you're doing the differential between the offense and the defense. So that's strong. And Oklahoma's number one in that category. But I'm worried about the Oklahoma defense. And look, Lincoln Riley's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. But I don't see complementary football being played, you know, with offense and defense. And here's what I mean. The Oklahoma running backs, the last three games, 42 carries, not 42 carries per game, 42 carries in three games. All the running backs combined, 42 carries in three games. And to me, that Oklahoma defense, which had shown improvement at the start of the season, is looking like last year's defense the last couple of games, giving 40-plus to Kansas State, 40-plus to Iowa State. And I worry about them wearing down and towards the end of the season here. But on the other side, I think I just got Oklahoma's overrated, Baylor's overrated. Four games by 6 points or less they've won. 1-2 overtimes, 1-3 overtimes. They never led TCU last week until overtime. You can give me that whole, you know, Destiny's Darling type thing. But, I mean, I think they're relatively overrated. So I don't have a strong play. If I do get 10.5, maybe I'll have a pizza money bet on Baylor here. But other than that, I don't have a significant want or need for action in this one.
I do have an overlay here, and I've got Baylor plus 5.5 in this game. And it's partially because the market has loved this team. And maybe that's something that I do wrong as we're talking about making adjustments and kind of having some, you know, come to football Jesus moments here on this week's segment. I think that's something that I do incorrectly is that when I see that a team has been a sharp side a few weeks in a row, I probably end up over-adjusting them because all the things you just outlined about Baylor are correct. Close games against Texas Tech and TCU. I don't think Charlie Brewer is healthy. He certainly didn't look 100% in that game last week against TCU. So I probably do have Baylor inflated a little bit too much, artificially inflated, because I'm almost moving my power ratings on the steam that we're seeing out there in the marketplace. And maybe that's not the right way to do it. So maybe this game should be closer to 7, 7.5, 8, 8.5 for me, like it is for you. I can't take Baylor here, though. I think it's not a good spot for them. I think Oklahoma's offensive explosiveness is something that Baylor has not seen all year, and I want to see how they react to that. I want to see how Matt Rhule does reacting to that situation. The other thing I will say, much like last week's Oklahoma-Iowa State game, I'm perfectly fine with the winner of this game being the Browns head coach next year.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I like both guys quite a bit. So, yeah, I don't know if I wish that on any of those guys, though. I think they seem like two good guys. Stay in college, guys.
All right, so game 383-384 here is one that the listeners asked me to talk about. Memphis and Houston. Memphis up from 9 to 10.5 out there market-wide. The 10s that are left have extra juice attached to them. Full marks to Houston, man. I thought they were going to quit on the season with the whole De'Aaron King thing, with Dana Holgorsen on the hot mic. All they've done is be really competitive in most of their games here the rest of the way. Will they be competitive enough to cover against Memphis this week?
I think they will. I mean, I'm closer to the 8 range as far as my number. So I think you hit the nail on the head, and that's almost exactly what I wrote on the game in my newsletter this week. I mean, they nearly pulled an outright upset over SMU, one of the better teams in the conference. I thought they fared quite well against UCF in an easy cover for them in their last game. Both teams off a bye here. You know, Memphis probably starting to feel some pressure here. I think they're in really good position to get that major bowl. Keep in mind that they do host Cincinnati late in the year. Memphis is going to be probably a short favorite there. And then the two teams could play each other the very next week in the AAC championship game. So that'd be something intriguing to look forward to as we move along. I don't see a tremendous amount of value, but I certainly, if you told me I can get 10.5, again, this would be another pizza money type of bet on Houston.
I got this one 7.5. So you and I are in the same range here. And I'm not sure what the overlay was for the listener, but he mentioned having a pretty big one. I presume it's probably on the Memphis side here. But I could be wrong, but glad we got a chance to talk about that game and work that one in. The other game that the listener requested in the same email was Michigan State and Michigan here. Game 387-388, and then we'll transition over to the NFL side. Michigan's laying 13.5 here against Sparty. And really, I mean, this is a point of pride game for Michigan State. They'll make a bowl because they'll beat Rutgers and Maryland. But
you think?
Really love to make. How do they lose to Maryland and Rutgers?
I don't know, man. How do they lose to Illinois up 25?
Yeah, well, Illinois is better than Rutgers and Maryland, though.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Anyway.
I mean, I got Michigan. Yeah, I mean, I got Michigan. This is another one of those games, and we hit on most of them this week. I got Michigan like 17.5.
I got it.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, and I've been high on Michigan State routinely in the marketplace this year. Not all games, but majority of them. And maybe I got aggressive with the downgrade last week. I think a lot of guys in the markets, well, they, you know, it was a lot of fluky things with last week's game that they probably should have won. The way they lost that game, I mean, I don't know how you pick yourself up. I mean, you already lost your best defensive player, your heart and soul on that side of the ball, and Joe Bocci busted for PEDs. You already have off-the-field issues and scandals going back the last couple of years with Michigan State. I mean, I love Mark D'Antonio, but to me, I mean, I think the ship is sailing, and it's sailing away from the shore when it comes to his, you know, career there. I get it. I mean, other people are going to say, hey, Michigan State's owned this series. They're 10-1 against the spread, but that 1-8-9 cover was last season when Michigan dominated Sparty, even though the score doesn't say it, 21-7, but I watched that game. I think Michigan State had less than 100 yards on offense. I like Michigan off a bye here at home. They got an opportunity to step on their throat on little brother. That hasn't been the case here for a majority of the last decade plus. They do it. Big house, Michigan, minus 13.5. Love it.
I like it too. And as much as it pains me to say that as an Ohio State fan, because it makes me sick and I'm going to have to go take a scalding hot shower after we finish recording here. But also for Michigan State, Brian Lewerke gets hit in the head last week. Apparently passes concussion tests, throws a pick six immediately. You know, there's a lot going on and none of it's good with this program right now. And again, I mentioned Ferentz, and I talked about this with a buddy of mine who follows the Big Ten very closely. Pat Fitzgerald, Kirk Ferentz types, although Iowa, you know, they do what they do very, very well. But with what Michigan State has to contend with now in the Big Ten East, I can't help but wonder if the game has just passed D'Antonio by and that Michigan State, this is the new Michigan State until they make a change. I can't help but wonder if that's the case.
Yeah, I think that is. And keep in mind, when Michigan State was really, you know, achieving a lot of success there, Michigan was way down. I mean, Rich Rodriguez, Brady Hoke, I mean, they were certainly down there. And Penn State was, you know, going through some downturns. You know, the start of the James Franklin era wasn't great. They were down scholarships. So, I mean, when two of your flagship programs were down, certainly that helped Michigan State. Both of those programs, Michigan and Penn State, are up. I mean, somebody's got to take a step back in that East Division. It's not going to be Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State's about as rock solid as any program in the country the last 20, 25 years. But, somebody had to take a step back, and certainly it's been Michigan State.
Could be a discussion for another week, probably a discussion for next week when Penn State plays the Buckeyes, but could it be Penn State?
Penn State taking a step back?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a huge James Franklin fan, but, I mean, they've done okay, but his recruiting's been a little bit of an issue the last year or so. So maybe, I guess by step back, I mean, what are you thinking? Nine? I mean, they're going to win 10 games this year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's the problem, right? In the Big Ten, you're graded on how you do against Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, you know? So, I mean, you go 8-4 and lose to those four teams. Is that a bad year? Is that just an expectation? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, kudos. I mean, the Big Ten coaching has gotten way better. I mean, when you add like a guy like a PJ Fleck, and Scott Frost hasn't shown it yet, but I think it'll start to show next year. I mean, a good youth movement there. On the Western side, to get that, Paul Chryst is probably the most underrated coach in the entire conference at Wisconsin. I just think, you know, from a coaching aspect, the entire conference has improved over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, I completely agree. We transition over to the NFL. We'll talk about a couple of good coaches here. Game 469-470, New England and Philadelphia. The Patriots, 3.5-point favorites coming off the bye. Philadelphia also off of a bye of its own. We see some fours out there at the very public shops in the offshore marketplace, but 3.5, the predominant number here. What is Brad Powers thinking about Patriots and Eagles?
Here's three things. You got the ultimate trifecta, although it's probably building on this line, but you got Belichick off a loss, 66% since 2002. This is against the spread, 66% off a loss. Belichick off a bye since 2002, 56% against the spread. Belichick with revenge, 64% against the spread. And I use 2002 because to me, that was the season that New England became public. Why? It was their first season off their first Super Bowl. Defending Super Bowl champs routinely start to get, you know, more public action. And yet you got 66%, 56%, 64%. Those three, I can't go. I certainly can't go against New England in that spot, even though traditionally I don't want to lay 3.5 on the road.
Those are all excellent points. And the same thing kind of applies to Philadelphia that applies to some of the college football teams we just talked about. I have no idea what the hell this team is, and it's week 11. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's been they haven't been healthy, and they're still not healthy offensively. Defensively, they've gotten a little bit healthier. They certainly have a lot of upside, and, you know, motivation should be there for them. I'm not saying, you know, New England's got a motivation edge by any stretch. I think Philadelphia is going to be sky high, both teams off a bye. I don't know. I do know one thing. I don't want to go against Belichick with those three things. I just don't. Yeah, you're not. Long-term, you don't make money. Just routinely, you don't make money going against Belichick. You certainly don't make money going against him in those three spots.
No, that's definitely true, to say the least. Let's go to Sunday Night Football here. Chicago and the Rams, 473-474. Rams laying 6.5 here against Chicago, making the long trip out to the West Coast. Two very disappointing teams here this season, by and large. Any thoughts on this one?
I'm on the under. I mean, you look at I think the Rams are compromised on the offensive line. They're down three offensive linemen. Two of those guys got hurt last week. The Rams offense hasn't scored a touchdown in 19 straight possessions. And if you're banged up on the offensive line, do you really want to go up against Khalil Mack? But on the other side, I mean, oof, Chicago offensively. I know some of their final scores look okay, but certainly the first half for them have been atrocious recently. I mean, I think they had one first down total in the first half against Philly. They were able to get a couple touchdowns late when the game didn't matter. They got a couple touchdowns late when the game didn't matter against New Orleans. I think that's inflating the number. I think this is a rare instance. Yes, it's a low total at 40.5, but, you know, how much different are we dealing? How much different is Chicago from, let's say, a Pittsburgh last week? And we saw that final score with the Rams. And that was even with defensive scores, multiple defensive scores in that game. I mean, this could be 13-10 type of game, and I'm on under 40.5.
Again, probably a discussion for another day with more time, but I'll just go ahead and float this out there. has the shine worn off of Sean McVay? Okay. I was going to add some qualifiers, but I guess I don't have to.
No, I mean, I think it has. I mean, not only performance-wise, but, I mean, by all reports, he wanted the Jared Goff deal. That's a horrible deal at this point. You can't tell me you can't go out with the quarterbacks. I mean, who would you rather have right now, Jared Goff or Kyler Murray moving forward?
Kyler Murray.
Exactly. You can't tell me you can't go out and find a good, solid quarterback on a rookie deal that could be better than Jared Goff. That's a horrific deal. We already know the Todd Gurley deal is going to be one of the worst contracts in the NFL. Two really bad contracts. I don't like the Rams moving forward. And I'd ask you this, you know, moving forward, who would you rather have, Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan?
No, I love Kyle. I have a man crush on Kyle Shanahan, so it's easy then for me.
So, I mean, if I'm buying stock, I'd rather have Shanahan stock than McVay. The McVay stock, it's already going down. I think start selling it. I mean, because it's only going to go down further, in my opinion.
Which is hilarious because you've got how many head coaches in the NFL? Four or five off the Sean McVay coaching tree? Or, you know,
and how are those guys? I mean, Kingsbury's done a really good job at Arizona. Record doesn't say it, but against the spread does. He's exceeded expectations. But Cincinnati, I mean, that's as least qualified as a coaching staff as I've ever seen in the NFL. And that's saying something when you got the Browns.
Yeah. Jay Gruden got fired. So there's that. Yeah. You know, I mean, Sean McVay was a branch of his coaching tree, but, you know, from the same type of mindset. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you there. All right, we go to Monday Night Football. So we go down to Mexico City, 475, 476, Kansas City and the Chargers. Chiefs, 3.5, 4 out there, depending on where you look. But again, this game in Mexico City, which adds a real element of intrigue, because keep in mind, Mexico City, much, much higher in elevation than even Denver is.
Yeah, and I just think too many moving factors for me to get heavily involved. I mean, I think in-game, maybe I'm thinking defenses get tired, maybe over in-game running, live betting, second half. You know, the Chargers are practicing this week in altitude in the Denver area. Kansas City, not. They're just treating it like a normal practice week. Is that advantage Chargers? Maybe. I think so. But, man, Phillip Rivers looked old last week. I mean, he looked really old last week. Against Oakland. Mahomes looked, you know, coming off the injury, looked fine. And obviously that was a misleading loss for Kansas City. I don't have much coming into the game, but what I will look for is those defenses getting tired in the second half and look to play over second half.
I'm kind of leaning the Kansas City side here because that defense played so well in Mahomes' absence. And then Mahomes comes back and they kind of shit the bed. I mean, yeah. To me, it sort of feels like a sack up kind of game for that Kansas City defense.
There you go.
You know, maybe pun intended in terms of, you know, getting after immobile Phillip Rivers, but that's kind of my thought here. But at the same time, I was burned by Kansas City last week in both contests. I don't know if I want to go back to him right away.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. To me, that's what it looked like. Kansas City went when Mahomes was gone, everyone picked up their game, picked up their intensity when he wasn't there. And then last week, well, I mean, our safety valve's back, so maybe I don't have to play as hard. I mean, if you get a full effort from Kansas City, I'd argue that defense is certainly better than last year. Tyreek Hill's back. Remember, he missed most of the start of the season. And if Mahomes is playing at the level even of last week, and I don't think it gets worse from this point forward, probably gets better. How's Kansas City not a top 4 or 5 team in the NFL? I think it's a dangerous team moving forward. Keep in mind, after the first 4 weeks this year, it was New England 1, Kansas City 2, as far as clearly the top two teams in the NFL, that was everyone's power ratings after the first 4 games.
Yeah. And now who's number 2? New Orleans?
I guess. I mean, after that performance last week, I don't know. I mean, that's one of the biggest head scratchers we've seen in the NFL probably in multiple years. Yeah, I mean, I'd certainly take them over the Niners probably. I'm not totally sold on Seattle. The NFC is going to beat each other up. Baltimore? I mean, Baltimore can make a case.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Well, a lot of good questions have answers over at BradPowerSports.com. What's going on over there right now, man?
Yeah, and let me just say this. This is one of my favorite segments I've done all year, so I really, really appreciated doing this one today. Not that I don't every week. I always appreciate talking to you, but this was excellent today. And if you're looking for more information, just go to BradPowerSports.com. I talk about it. I mentioned it briefly and a couple times today. It's called the Powers Picks newsletter. Every single game, as far as college and NFL, there's a write-up on it. I put my heart and soul into it. Picks of the week are in there. NFL's been really good this year. College, not so much. Don't buy it for the picks. Buy it for the information. It's $49 all the way through the Super Bowl. Go to bradpowersports.com.
And, of course, as always, you can follow Brad on Twitter, at Brad Powers and the number 7. Brad, appreciate your time, as always, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me. Really enjoyed this segment as well, and we'll have another good one coming next week.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, my friend.